One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the show, Premier League legend. People say I say the word legend too much. This is a Premier League legend, Jermaine Defoe.
Come on.
Ruh, 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 ruh. Quick question. Have you got that shirt?
No.
Do you want to buy that shirt? It's available now. £55. You want to buy it?
I thought it's getting one free, no?
This one is business. Just this one. The next one you can get free.
I like it though.
You could buy 10 though.
Steph will buy it for me.
Steph, get on your phone now. PhilFaders.com. 10. 10. If you don't buy 10, it means JD's run out of peace.
We were talking about how a lot of young players now play with their socks way down with a tiny little shin pad.
Mad.
You can't really tackle the way you used to, so you might as well have the freedom.
Mm.
But that reminds me of when Javier Mascherano once flew a tackle in, round the back, from behind, whatever, hooked Jermaine Defoe down on the edge of the box.
What did Jermaine do?
What did Jermaine Defoe do in revenge?
Little nibble. I warned him.
Did you?
I told him, because you know what? See that fixture, obviously I left West Ham, went to Tottenham. So I remember early in the game, like he smashed me and I thought, okay. But I knew it was coming. And I remember saying to him, I said, you know what? I said, do that again. Because he tried to hurt me. I don't mind, if you smash me and you win the ball, no problem. So I remember I said to him, do that again. And because I was fired up anyway, because I was getting a lot of stick from the West Ham fans.
Of course you were.
So I remember, rightly so. He done me from behind. Steve. So he done me from behind and I just saw red.
Whoa.
I lost it. Yeah, pause.
you got to remember that.
Check your shoulders. You got to check your shoulders here. But ain't it mad though, that that's like modern era, like not that long ago, and you that's two red cards. That was two yellow cards that game.
Yeah.
One tackle from behind, one bite. It was two yellow cards.
To be fair, I did panic. When I did it, you know when you just see red? When I done that, I thought, you know what, I'm off.
Has anyone ever bit someone?
I said this. Remember, I don't know if you remember the story years ago, but I said if I was in a headlock and was near me.
Oh, brother.
Yo.
That's not what I bit. I didn't bite that.
We're not usually like this.
That's not what
I'm saying. I would do it, bruv, if I have to get out of it. You get what I'm saying, Margs? Margs?
I'm not spudding you for that. I'm not spudding you.
So you're biting it?
Yeah. If I have to get out of the headlock, I'm biting it.
Nah, I'm collapsing. Kill me. I'm dead. I'm dying.
How bad is the headlock, though?
Yeah, I'm blacking out.
Bruv, we accept you, but them stories ain't for mixed company, man.
Okay, cool.
We're talking to a man who is guilty of head loss on occasion.
Do you think?
As a striker, I would say you had an inordinate number of red cards.
Me?
What, you got a lot of red cards.
Early on.
And you argued a lot.
But you know what, though? I always say to people, you know, if you take that fire away, you're not the same player.
Mm.
I don't know. Say like Wayne Rooney, for example. Ian Wright. Wright was the same. Mm. You hear Wright say all the time now, like he was angry. But I think you need that fire. If you take that away, like you're different players.
So did you need a beef on the pitch?
Yeah, always.
Did you make up your own beefs?
I'll just argue with anyone.
I hear it.
Bro, we played against Man United. I can't remember what year it was. At the Lane. I scored after 40 seconds, the overhead kick. I don't know if you remember.
Of course we remember. I
remember the whole game. Me and Vidic was going at it. Like he was giving... So... He must have hit me with his tackle. Yeah, he was ready. You know certain defenders, you're like, oh, whatever. But he was like, what? Yeah. He was ready in that. So I said to him, what? I said, okay, cool. But I said, stay in London tonight then. I said, what, this is London? You thought? I said, stay in London tonight then.
Jesus.
I was giving him after the game.
I'm having banter with him. He said, my friend, you talk too much. You come up to my like this. Stop speaking.
I'm a bit.
He was certain defenders, you can give it to him, but he was ready. But you need that sort of... You need arguments. Yeah, you need it.
Ajay, so what, when you used to say to people, like, do it again, Did it usually work? Because it seems like it doesn't work.
Do it again. All right, cool.
Yeah, no problem, yeah. No, but I think I've heard loads of players say it. I've heard Thierry say it about sometimes players talk about people kicking them. They liked it. And even now, I'm coaching the academy at Tottenham. And as a few of the young boys, you see them in training and then you see them, they're quite laid back and stuff. And then all of a sudden, one of the coaches will say something to them and they play better, they train better.
So how does it work when you need anger and then you got a strike partner like Berber who's like, he's calm.
This guy's coming training every day. Remember, you get up in the morning, just put a tracksuit on. I just come, put my tracksuit on and like, Berber will come in, leather jacket, jeans, shoes.
Maybe that means there's something wrong with him then.
Yeah. Every day he was dressed. I say to Berber, where are you going after training? Like every day this guy was sharp.
Look good, play good, man.
Mm-hmm. Who was the best manager of being like, okay, Jermaine needs this. Berber needs this, like.
What are you talking about, like man managing?
Yeah, just like, but also the different personalities on the same day. Like, say you lot have got West Ham. Say you're talking about West Ham, and you're going, right, some players need to be calm. Ledley needs to keep a cool head, but Jermaine needs to fire Jermaine up.
Ledley was always cool. But I wasn't one of those players that need motivating. I was always motivated. Do you know what I mean? So I wasn't one of those players, like I said before, about in training, the manager had to say to me, oh, come on. I was always ready to train. And I think, a lot of times you can lead that from the change rooms anyway. You know, like if someone's messing about, I could say to them, oh, come on. Sometimes the manager doesn't need to do that. But I think when you talk about like man managing, like understanding the group and knowing how to deal with individuals, I think Harry was the best.
Lippy does Jermaine Defoe, by the way.
Swear.
Yeah, that's Jermaine Defoe.
One of the best Premier League strikers of all time. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Just finish your food. Don't worry, it's coming. Just finish your food. we're helping you digest it. That's
brother,
why.
You lot are weird. I'm outside, bro. I'm ready. I came here prepared. I got my cousins with me. See, you got a couple man with him. Yeah.
Oh my day.
There was a rumor because obviously we grew up in the same youth teams and like.
Oh God. Well, you know, you remember? You know him from before, yeah. All right.
Come on.
One time.
Come on.
Well, do you remember him from the youth team?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, bro.
Just checking.
Where's Paquette and all the boys and all that? Anyway, but people did used to say that in training. You was a savage. Like, you would, like, score, celebrate goals in training. Mm. Like, so going to what you were saying about you didn't have to be motivated.
No.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I think there's no other way. Some players, you see them, they train, and you think, you don't want to be in their team. But they come match day, they're on it. Because at Tottenham, Gareth Bale, day before the game, never used to train. He would do the warm-up, and then we used to play like an OV Young game. And then he would just step out, and he would just watch it. But I knew the next day he'll be on it. Mm-hmm. Then you get other players in training that you think, wow. Like if I sign for a new club, I've seen players, certain players, and I think, who's this player? He should be playing. Or why is he not playing? Come match day, it's completely different. You don't see them. So
the crowd.
I think for me, I just enjoyed every training session, goals, everything.
So what, did JD like megs you? Did he spin you? What happened?
Nah, he was good. He was all right, man.
Was he good, yeah?
Him and Leon Knight, to be fair. Him and Knighty. Forget Bent. I don't know. You made that one up, but the original one was.
Now it's forget Bent, yeah? Because he forgot you.
Forget Bent. That energy weren't here when he was sitting here.
Yeah, Knight, Leon was top. Because you know what? Growing up, though, I remember it was like Ledley, and I think it was like JT, older. Then it was like me and Leon Knight.
Senrab, we're talking.
Right, Senrab, that come on the scene. And then what happened was, East. We went, yeah, exactly, East. And then we went to a place called Lillishall. So we got a scholarship, England Schools of Excellence, yeah? So growing up, it was always me and Knighty from the age of like, since we were like 10. So when we went to Lillishall, as far as we were concerned, listen, when you think about London, me and Knighty are the best players, right? Then I saw Joe Cole.
Bruh.
Then I was like, North. Raw.
He's a idiot. See that?
I saw Joe Cole, right, when he was 15, and I was like, whew, never seen anything like it in my life.
I hear that a lot, man.
With you and Leon, yeah, like, in a lot of ways, like, I associate you because you were from that same generation and you knew each other in the same teams and that. At what point did you feel like he was ahead of you? Did you feel like
never
you were ahead of him?
Never looked at it like that.
Oh, really?
I never focused on anyone else. Even when I was at clubs, I never really focused on, I don't know, that Berbatov or Robbie Keane or Paolo Di Canio. I always focused on me. Because I thought, if I can bring my best version, then when it came to finishing, if I got chances, I always backed myself. And when I was 16 at West Ham, we used to do crossing finishing in training. And Harry ran at me to say, oh, that's how you finish. To the first team players, I was only 16. So,
do you think players don't know how to finish anymore? Do you think there's a limited number of players? Because I look at your finishing. I've heard you speak to Troy on your podcast. Mm. And the way you talk about that backlift, the way you talk about just like late runs and everything, I feel like there's a lack of strikers that think about finishing the way that your generation did.
No, it's different now. When you think about number nines, and I'm talking about that hunger to score goals, like in training, that repetition every day. Like when I was at West Ham and we'd finish training, everyone's walking in, all the boys are going in the gym doing all their stuff, and I'd still be outside. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And that's this is why I was lucky, to be fair. I was lucky because I had Wrighty there, because when I signed for West Ham, Wrighty would just come towards the back end of his career, blah, blah. Mm. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get as much from Wrighty as possible. So even if he's here for like another for half the season, I'm going to, because he left then, I think he went to Nottingham Forest, remember?
Yeah.
So I'm going to get as much from Wright as possible in terms of like my movement, my finishing, all that sort of stuff. Because all I did was just, I just watched Wright every day in training. And then we used to do a lot of finishing together. And we used to talk about goalkeeper positions. All the backlift stuff, that I think that came natural. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But in terms of like the movement and understanding where to be in a box and taking my chances, all that sort of stuff, everything's from Wrighty.
Back then, if you didn't get 20 goals, you was a failure, like as a striker, right? If you didn't get goals, you was that was what you was, not you as a player, but as a striker in that time. Nowadays,
You think that was the case back then?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. 100%. But nowadays, strikers are judged more on the work they do, the shutting down.
Well, Michael Owen said it, didn't he? Michael Owen said the other day, it was a big statement what he said. He said, like years ago, I felt like, you know, to come through and actually get into the first team, especially as a forward and, remember, I went, like, I'm small, and you're the focal point of the team, you know. So when you think about goals, like that's the hardest thing to do in a game, is to score, right? So away from all of that, you have to be strong because your back's the goal. You got all that sort of, your whole game has to be at that sort of level to play in the Premier League. Nowadays, it's almost like you have to be an athlete first and then a footballer. Mm-hmm. But back then, no, you have to be a footballer first and then the athlete stuff, that comes.
Do you think they got it easier then?
I won't say they got easier.
Look at Hoyland, not scoring.
Scoring the Champions League, man, relax.
Yeah.
But the pressure's getting worse every week, though, for him.
But back then, you're judged on goals, that's it. Mm. Centre forwards, you're judged on goals. They say forward players. So whether you're like a number nine or you're like a seven or you're 11, you're forward players. Then it's like goals and assists. Mm-hmm. But my generation, I was looking up to people like Wrighty, Les Ferdinand, Robbie Fowler, Andy Cole, Teddy Sheringham, like all these centre forwards were just goal scorers.
As a coach now, is it easy to get out of that mindset then and judge it on what you have to judge it on today?
You have to, but at the same time, I think it's important for me to drive those sort of standards. So like, I can say to the players, now when we get chances, we have to exit, you have to be ruthless. Mm-hmm. Or I'll say to them, if they're not doing the finishing properly, I'll be like, okay then, no problem. So this is why we miss chances in that game, because you're not doing it right. As a coach, I think those sort of messages are important for players.
You would say that Ian Wright taught you a lot, right? That one-on-one mentorship, that degree of coaching, right? We're not going to say he made you the player you are, whatever. There's so much more that goes into that.
Yeah, of course.
But having a mentor like him, why isn't someone like Ian Wright kept in the game to coach when he has the ability to impart that much knowledge to someone who goes on to score 100 Premier League goals?
Because I think a lot of players, especially black players, that generation, like I mentioned, Wrighty, Les. I listened to something that Dwight York said about getting opportunities. I just don't think the opportunities were there, if I'm being brutally honest. And I think probably you look at John Barnes, all these great players, players that yeah, do you know what I mean? Players that paved the way for me, and like you mentioned Darren, but all these players that paved the way for us to be where we're at. I just don't think the opportunities were there. Speaking to these players.
Wright, he went down to MK. Like, this is a few years ago. My friend Jabbo was there. And Wright, he used to
Jabbo
do...
Jabbo Bigbiri.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
He used to do one-on-one sessions and sessions,
name dropping, bro.
Sessions with the strikers. So they have been bringing these over. I know Coley done it as well.
Yeah.
So they have been doing it, but
in terms of being like managers, though.
Yeah, not managers.
But no. I don't know if, like, say, I don't know, Andy Cole. I don't know if they wanted to be managers. Mm. I know they did a little bit of coaching and that, but I just feel like, for me, when I was playing, if these legends were managers. And you see that it's they've given so much to football, English football, so it'll be nice to see.
It's timely though, isn't it? Because Joey Barton's running around talking about token media correspondents being black or women or whatever. But when you really look at what black people have done in football and their representation outside of actually playing, you think that gap would have been closed at some point. Crazy. Like, you look at, says there's jobs available right now and there's jobs coming up. What black coaches are we looking at for the Sunderland?
But who wants to be? Are you interested in management?
Yeah, do you want to be a gaffer?
I'm ready.
Would you wear a suit or a tracksuit?
A suit.
What, three piece? Three piece suit. I think it looks better when managers got suits on. Do you not think?
Nah, you know, if you wear them right and you're stylish, then it can work.
In football manager, do you pick tracksuit or suit?
I'm suited. Suit.
Okay, okay. You're the manager, yeah. What about your captain comes to you and says, "Boss, what do you want us to wear, like for home games, suits or tracksuit?" What do you say then?
Home games, tracksuit.
Really?
What?
No.
Yeah, man. I want it to be comfortable. We're at home. I want it to be comfortable. It's the players, isn't it? It's not me.
And away.
Away. We're representing the club. You get what I'm trying to say? We need to look sharp.
So we're sitting on a coach in a suit.
On a Saturday, you're wearing a suit, and you're not 7 Day Avengers. But it don't make no sense, bro.
Bro, going Moss Bros every weekend. That's rubbish.
I don't think they're going Moss Bros. Most clubs have suit partners. They do tailoring. Yeah.
He needs to get his thing tailored, isn't it?
Man wants to borrow money.
Shut up, PK, man.
He needs to get your thing tailored from the back.
He's got a bigger back though.
Who?
You know PK poos like with the toilet seat up.
Oh, well, hold on a second.
Who are you talking about?
Straight on the bowl.
Oh, the second one. Whoa.
Is that what you do?
You're lying. On the skinny thing.
On the bowl.
How did you spin this block on me, bro?
I know. Why are they always coming for you anyway?
I don't know, bro.
You started it. Go to his yard. See what his mum gives you in the drink.
Go to his yard. Even his garden smells.
Even his garden smells?
What, outside and
that? Bro, inside smells like outside and outside is like inside. It don't make no sense, bro.
Because normally when it's small, you have to go outside to get fresh air, innit?
Bro, I brought him to my yard. Bro, the garden was smelling as well, bro.
Man's for a breeze in the garden.
Cooking fish every single day.
No. We're pescatarians.
Yeah, pescatarians. Fish in it.
Yeah, you do cook fish.
What did you just say?
Though? We're pescatarians.
Every time Specs goes out, gal are asking me, "What were they cooking fish in your yard?" I was like, idiot.
You want a drink? Do you want a drink? Should I get a drink from his house? What I told you happened. All right, cool.
All right, Margs, you don't know ball challenge. You ready?
Nope. Go on.
Four of Jermaine Defoe's gaffers.
Oh, good one.
Gaffers.
Yeah, go on. Four. Oh,
that's easy. Four.
15 seconds.
Marks.
They've been loads, bro. Know. That's easy.
Red nap.
Yeah.
Well, loads of times red nap.
He's
done,
you know. He's done.
No. It's easy. He's got it.
To be fair, I think you've been managed by red nap four times as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's four.
Yeah, I don't know about the Spurs managers and all that.
Martin, yo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yo.
Oh, yeah, yo.
Glenn Wilder?
Yeah, West Ham.
Well, one more, boys.
Fabio Capello.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wait, you see that guy? You see him, yeah?
Hmm. You say joke.
Do you know, you see, I've seen, there's been a lot of noise around Fabio. Different opinions, but I loved him.
Is it?
Oh, wow.
Oh, what?
Michael wasn't on him at
bro,
all.
He just dropped the shoulder on us, you know?
When I was at West Ham, when I was 16, I spent a lot of time with Di Canio. Mm-hmm. So I used to watch him, and you see like his standards and how he used to train. Because people always say to me, oh, JD, you playing until you're 39. But I'm just like, that was always going to happen for me because when I was 16, I didn't get to a point where I was like 13. I thought, I'm 13. I need to start doing yoga or I need to stop drinking or I need to do that. No. I did that from day one. Mm. Because, do you know what I'm saying? A lot of players get to a certain age and that. Because I loved playing, I love scoring goals. I thought, right, okay, then if that's the case, then I want to play as long as possible. Years later, when Fabio Capello was the manager, all those sort of standards, like you can't be late, dinners at a certain time, you do double sessions, you can't have your phones. Like, all that sort of stuff, for me, it was just normal.
You've been doing it,
like. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it was just normal. And that's what it's like at home. With my mum and that, those sort of standards. So, like, you get a lot of players that didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that why they didn't like Capello? Because the standards is too strict or something?
I heard he banned ketchup and that.
He banned everything. I see him smash plates before.
Really loves ketchup, man.
Once he said, right, no phones. I think it was, who was it? I think Heskey, I thought M. I think M had his phone under the table like this.
He didn't tell us
this. Sometimes when they say, like, no phones, and you think, okay, let me just try a little message and that. But Fabio was standing there. Bro, he had a plate in his hand for dinner. He dropped the plate, smashed it.
He's on dinner.
Smashed the plate. Ashley Cole come on the bus. He had was leaving for training. Ash had flip flops on. Everyone else had trainers. He just stopped him like that. He said, no, go and change trainers. You don't care who you are. Hey, standards.
Heskey don't seem like this. He seems a bit clumsy to hide.
Nice. Can't hide.
Steve-O, Capello's there, but he's looking that way.
Heskey picked up Capello's food.
One mirror.
Did you not ever have the opportunity to play in Italy? Because we were talking about it downstairs. That would have, to me, that would have suited your game a lot.
Juve.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
When? What era? When? What time?
from Portsmouth before I come back to West Tottenham. So 2008, I was actually at home. Harry left Portsmouth, went to Tottenham. So I got a phone call. It was all going through, and I remember an agent phoned me, a big name agent phoned me, and he said to me, "The deal's taking too long. I'm taking to Juve. I've spoken to Juve. They like you, and I'm taking to Juventus." So I was just like, "Okay then, it's Juventus, no problem." But because I've already said to Harry, I've given Harry my word, I'm coming back to Tottenham. I'm coming back. And then that was it. And the deal was done the next day. Not many people know that though.
Exclusive.
Here we go.
But you're one of those football players that actually like loved football growing up. A lot of football players is part of them. Like I play, but like you must have looked at Italian football growing up and thought that's the pinnacle.
Yeah.
That's where, like, especially for a striker.
Yeah.
Because the goals are hard to come by, but the ones who scored them.
I used to watch.
Go Lazio
on Channel 4 on a Sunday, but like, obsessed. Pepe Signore, Vialli, all that lot. Baggio.
Signore, you know.
Signore. All those old school centre forwards, I used to watch them. When he said that to me, Juve, I was like, 100%.
In the shirt. Then, imagine yourself in the shirt.
Mate, exactly. Oh, I should have done it, bruv.
How come you don't have a celebration, man?
You know what it is? You know, like now you see a lot of players, they rehearse that, right, this is your celebration. It's so hard to explain that feeling. You know when you score? If I can sit here now and say, oh, do you know what, bro? This is what it feels. It's so hard to explain that feeling. Sometimes someone might say to me, oh, you know what, cuz? I'll do this when you score. But you just forget.
Head loss,
you just forget.
People always say it's like, and I'm going to be rude here.
Go on, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. What's better? Busting a nut or scoring a goal?
Bro, when you score a goal, you see, when you score a goal and you're playing in front of, I'm not going to describe, I don't know, say like 60,000, for instance, and that whole stadium's gone mad because of you, what you've just done.
That's better, isn't it?
Try busting that in front of 60,000. And then we'll say the same thing.
That's
you know
ultimate
mean?
Head loss, man.
Yeah, man.
Scoring a goal is better than chopping a thing.
Nah, that's going too far.
Because so he's probably chopped more things than you scored goals.
Well, you ain't chopped more things than you scored goals. No
facts. Do your Googles.
Boys, let Jermaine land.
Yeah,
exactly.
MVP.
Nah, the feeling, trust me, it's mad.
Which one?
I'll tell you after.
Oh, man.
You got a podcast with Troy Deeney right now. It's a great podcast, by the way. I tell people all the time it's a great podcast because people would think that they're very similar, you and Troy. Yeah, actually, the differences between you.
It's funny. Troy's funny, man.
Very funny.
Troy's funny.
Troy's a man that went to counseling. Troy's a man that thinks he's got his anger issues under control.
Yeah.
Jermaine Defoe is a man of instinct. Jermaine Defoe is a man of passion. Yeah. He's on the front line of everything. What is the how does that balance work, you and Troy?
Do you know what, though? You see, when you look at his story,
it's amazing.
It's unique, bro. Mm. And it's quite inspiring because you look at a lot of people, just a lot of young players that get released and they give up. They drop out of the game and they give up. But I think when you look at Troy's story and from what he had to come back from to, I mean, nearly something for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And what he did, the amount of goals he scored, important goals, and the Premier League games that he played at the pinnacle, the Premier League level, it's the pinnacle. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's why when he's telling me these stories, for me, so interesting, because I'm thinking, your journey's been completely different to mine. I went to Lillishall when I was 14. I got a scholarship. I come back from Lillishall. Signed for West Ham for 1.6 million before I even kicked a ball at 16. Made my debut at 17. Went alone to Bournemouth. And then I didn't really look back after that. Troy's had things that he had to deal with, personal stuff. Come back to Watford when he left jail. There's 9 centre forwards. Okay, right. So I've got this sort of image. Then I've come back to Watford. How am I going to get in the team? Managed to get back in the team. Managed to be like captain. And the story's just amazing. And it's just funny.
Yeah,
he's a good guy, man.
Amazing, but don't knock how hard it is to maintain from 17.
It's hard.
To 39.
Did you ever think you weren't going to do it? Was there ever a point where you were like, nah, it's too hard?
Never.
You ever had a plan B if you weren't going to make it a football, you do something else?
No, because when you got a plan B, that's distracting yourself from plan A.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't arrogance. I think it was just confidence. When I was 16 at West Ham, and I stood. Go to the games and I to not only just sit there, I'm watching the games. So I'm watching Freddie Kanute, I'm watching Paolo Di Canio, I'm watching Todorov, right? Titi Kamara. I'm watching these guys every single day in training. So that means if you're staying behind after training and you're doing 20 minutes, I'm doing 25 minutes. I'd watch Paolo in the gym. He's a big man. I'm 16, but I'm doing what you're doing. I'm talking to Wrighty. I'm watching Trevor Sinclair. How fit he is, Trevor. How'd you get that fit? Frank Lampard's finishing. I was speaking to Rio. So all these people around me, I'm like a sponge. I'm taking everything from everyone. So in my mind, I just thought, well, it's just a matter of time. Because if I'm scoring 2, 3, 4 goals every single week in under 17s, under 19s, I'm thinking this is too easy. Then I went alone to Bournemouth. I scored in 10 consecutive games. I'm ready to go. I speak to Harry and I want to come back. So for me, it was just a matter of time before I got into the first team. And I thought, okay, once I get into the first team, the Premier League, that's the next level. If I can do it there, then I did it there. What's next? I want to do it for England. So,
was there anyone, like, see when you were saying you're banging goals when you was like 16? Because I feel like that was a time where people were talking about size. Because size was an issue them days, isn't it?
Especially this country.
Yeah. Didn't you have any haters there saying, like, you're too small?
I was razor sharp. So size didn't mean nothing.
Small purpose.
I did more work in the gym than probably. That would mean nothing. In football. in football, size don't mean nothing, right? Yeah, so I did a lot of work in the gym. Mm. I used to do a lot of power work. So every Tuesday, I do a lot of from 16, 17, did a lot of power work in the gym. And I worked a lot on, like, my sharpness. I always thought, if I can get away from defenders, you see, like, the first 3 or 4 yards are so important. That's why Aguero was like Romario.
Whoa.
Romario, if you watch Romario's clips.
You man, go home and check him out, Romario. Sorry, not you.
Black and white.
But trust me, if you watch Romario's clips, yeah. TV. 3, 4 yards, he was gone.
Yeah.
So then if I can get away from people,
bang.
Then now all the stuff that's natural to me, like the finishing stuff, then I can do that.
So you knew that at 16?
16.
You knew that, what you just said?
Yeah.
That's who's crazy, a young, bro. So like, who are you watching now? A young 16-year-old now? Maybe Haaland, I guess, but.
Haaland ain't 16.
Haaland's like 24.
Haaland's not 16.
That's not what I said. You heard what I said. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, you're saying the 16-year-olds are watching Haaland, you're saying? Yeah. Oh, okay.
You thought I said that too?
Sorry.
I've spoken to a few coaches now, and what they say is a lot of the time you'll have like wonder kid strikers in the academies bagging 30, 40 goals. And then when it comes time to turn pro, it's so different. It actually takes them 3 or 4 years to get back to goals.
Eddie.
For them, Eddie Ketyard, like Dom Solanke.
I like Eddie.
Even Ivan Toney, who obviously, you imagine through the youth levels, he was scoring probably hundreds of goals. But I think now the it's just, the transition is just different.
But see, they were, let's be honest, they were never natural finishers though.
Who?
What? The players you mentioned.
Lanky and Eddie.
Natural
goal scorers. Because there's different. You get some players, yeah, that will shoot. You get players that shoot and you get players that finish. So Robbie Fowler, finish. Ian Wright, finish. Harry Kane, finish. Aguero, finish. And you get other centre forwards that they score goals but they just shoot.
Yeah.
You don't know about
it. It's boom with it.
You don't know about
it. It's called boom with it.
Humor. It's called boom with me though. If you wasn't playing football, what's the other job that you would like to have done?
Probably stayed in football. Like
coaching.
Coaching. Mm. Because remember, this is, from the time I could walk, that's all I did was, I just wanted to kick a ball. So then, because remember, there's no guarantees. I could have gone to West Ham and, yeah, scored goals in the youth team, but got into the first team and not done it. There's no guarantees. It was a lot of pressure, but I do feel like I probably would have want to stay in the game because that's what, that was my happy place.
Football don't exist. What are you doing?
If football don't exist.
How are you meant to know?
Nah, Hollywood actor.
DJ.
OnlyFans. The world is your oyster.
The world is your oyster. What are you thinking?
I don't know. Music. I love music. I love boxing. I'm a massive boxing fan. So away from football, I remember like when I was younger watching the Eubank Ben fights, I was a massive, like, even I used to go and watch Frank Bruno train in Canning Town. So, I don't know, maybe.
Have you got a tune?
Have I got a tune?
Yeah.
They'd walk out to it.
Everyone, every man's
no,
got a tune.
No, he's got a tune.
Have you made a tune?
He's
been in the studio and recorded something.
Right, he did. Never. Right, he had one.
Yeah, right, he had one. I would like to do that.
Well, was Right, his one good?
I like.
You was in Heartbroken, innit?
Heartbroken.
The video.
Nah,
Heartbroken. Now that was in, that was up north.
I'm asking all the black players.
Was that Leeds? Yeah, that was a tune. That was a tune, though.
It was a banger still.
Micah Richards.
Yeah, that was a tune.
What a lot of what we do here, right, is we'll come together and we'll just sit here and just list players, and just be like, oh, remember him? Oh, remember him? Jermaine's one of the people that could do that, like, easy, yeah. Like just database. Who in the game would surprise us that, like, you could say, rah, this guy's joining us. What do you know about this guy? Because this player like Moussa Dembélé didn't really care about football. Like one of the best midfielders in the Premier League history, but didn't really...
The best.
But who were players that... I know Jamie Carragher's one that he knows everything. He's just one of those database football manager, Shoot Magazine, Match Magazine, 442, everything else. Who could do that, kind of hang with you in that knowledge?
Harry. I think the way he lives...
He comes across like that.
I think you can just tell. I think just the obvious ones, the way he lives his life and that. Like Harry just loves playing football, loves scoring goals. Steven Gerrard, obsessed.
Yeah, it's the trim. You can tell by the trim. And just the clothes. Who? Just the overall, like...
Who, Harry Kane?
It's quite... Harry's a good guy, man. He's not changed.
No. I heard he brings everyone together, Harry.
Yeah. But you know when you know when people talk about leaders and that? You know when you say sometimes, you say like leaders, and I've heard Mourinho talk about this, and you get certain characters that will scream and shout, come on, like before the game and all that. Or do you get someone like a Stevie G, will just sit there. And you can see that he's ready, because you can see. Stevie's so reserved in that, right? And it's almost like he's got this switch where he comes down the tunnel. As soon as he gets on the pitch, he's got this switch where he just becomes an animal. And I think you need that. Ledley King, same. Leds would just be chilling in the change rooms, just sitting there. Then when he gets on the pitch, leader. But you don't have to be a leader by like screaming and shouting.
Lead by example.
Lead by example.
You see someone like Harry Kane, yeah? He's a proper family man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Quiet, down to earth. Does that surprise you that he scores so many goals then? Because obviously I know for a fact top strikers are...
They're outside.
Like top.
But you know what though? I think there's times to do it.
Okay.
There's times. Because you can look at any sport. You look at Floyd Mayweather. Who's the party more than Floyd?
Yeah, outside.
Mm. But who trained harder than Floyd? Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? And that. So when you look at, like, you can look at any industry, any sport. Sometimes you see them certain players or athletes that are great. Yeah, you have to be a little bit mad to be that great. So Maradona, we all watched Maradona's documentary.
Wow. He beat the goalkeeper.
He done his stuff, but when it comes to having fun, he could have fun. George Best, he done his stuff on the pitch. When it comes to having fun, it's just
even Bobby Charlton was like.
When you went Portsmouth, what did you do for night sucks?
Go to London.
Drive home. I'll drive back to London.
Did you ever go? Did you ever go out before a game?
Mm-mm.
Never a day before the game.
Listening to him today, do you think he would do that?
He can't say that. He's a coach.
Bro, if I did that, yeah, for me, it was simple. I used to think like this, right? From Monday to Friday, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm getting those feelings I spoke about before. Mm. I want to score. Simple as that. So if you told me, JD, go bed at 10 o'clock, I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. If I'm in the gym and you say to me, do 10 press ups, I'll do 10 press ups. I'm going to do everything I need to do. So come the weekend, I play well and I score. After that, I enjoy myself. It's normal.
Was there ever a manager who just, you're wrong. Oh, Jermaine, I think you should do extra half an hour on finishing. Like, no, I don't need to do extra half an hour on finishing.
No, but I've been places where like towards the, because you know you get to a certain point, yeah, when you play, like you know your body. But I've done this for 10 years. I know my body. I'm going to try and keep doing. Then you go certain places and they ask you to do something different. And you're thinking, nah, that's not right.
Mm.
I remember when I went to Bournemouth. And I used to do this on a Tuesday. I'm used to doing like my gym session. So I'll go in there, I'll do my power work. But as I got older, work smart, not hard. Do you know what I mean? So I do my power stuff, but sometimes I'll go in the gym for 15 minutes. I get my work done. But whereas when I was probably, at Bournemouth, I was like 34. But when I was 25, I go in the gym for an hour. So it's different. You have to work smart. But then at Bournemouth, what they was doing the power work plus in the altitude chamber, doing the watt bike. These sprints. I remember started doing. I thought, okay, because with me, I'm thinking like, so if everyone else is doing it, I'm thinking, raw, I need to do it because I'm getting left behind. Do you know what I mean? So when I started doing it, come Saturday, my legs are heavy. Mm. My legs are heavy, and I thought, I don't know if I can keep doing this. But then people around me said, nah, you need to do this. I'm like, well, if I need to do this, come Saturday, you're not getting much out of me. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And I knew that, and then I'm playing the games in that, and I felt like I weren't getting my chances where I could score goals, and it was completely different. So you do get that sometimes. You do get that.
What was it like when Tottenham decided that they were in a four-striker era? For a striker that, I'm guessing, like, momentum is goals, is starts. They just one day just went, right.
Rotation.
Berbatov, Keane, rotation. Defoe, Mido.
Yeah.
By the way, now, that's never happening.
It can't happen.
No.
The striker plays.
It can't happen. I remember in my mind, I'm thinking, Defoe can't be lacking this still.
No.
Yeah. You don't. But you know what it is? You need ego. If you don't have ego in football, yeah, you get eaten. You need ego, right? But sometimes you get to a point where you think, okay, then I'm going to put my ego to the side a little bit. Because say, for instance, Robbie Keane's playing, who Robbie Keane was top, right? And Berbatov, if they're scoring goals, what am I going to say to the manager? Play me. Because if it's about I've got to be careful, because if it's about the team winning 3 points, me going to the manager, causing a problem, he would just turn around and be like, okay then, well obviously you don't care about the team. Mm-hmm. You don't care about the team. And that's why, even when I look at the Premier League list, this is just me, I look at the Premier League list and people are like, oh yeah, top 10. I still look at it and think, I could have got to 177 like Frank Lampard, or 184 like Andy Cole. Do you know what I mean? I could have got higher, Thierry, I think it was 175, whatever it was. So around about the Tottenham time when the teams were getting rotated, where I weren't playing every single game, but I still managed to get my goals.
Wasn't there a West Ham team where you was on a bench but you were still top scorer? I believe.
Yeah, but I was young. So when you're really young, okay. It's like you can't really like. Do you know what I mean, because I was young coming through. For me, I was just grateful to be in the first team so young. I was getting my chances when I was coming on. So around about that time, like when you're that young, you're not going to knock on the manager's door and say, "I did it one time to Glenn Roeder," and he could sense I was frustrated. And he said to me, "He said, listen, he said you're eight. I think it was about 18, 19. He said, JD, relax. He said you're going to play for England. You're going to score loads of goals in the Premier League. He said you don't need to rush. You're young." It's about development. Mm. But when you're young, you don't want to hear that. You just want to play every game. But when I look at it now, when you're young players and that, you don't need to play every game. That's where you get injuries.
Look at Michael Owen.
Do you think there's a lack of strikers? That's why there aren't four strikers at City, four strikers at Arsenal? Or do you think it's like the coaches are a bit like, now we need to protect the ego and protect the momentum of a goal-scoring striker now by not overburdening them with looking over their shoulder every time they play a six?
But sometimes that's a good thing sometimes, though. When you know, like... I've been in a situation before when I'm playing and say like Robbie Keane's on the bench or someone's on a bench and I'm thinking, you're looking over. When they're warming up on that, you're looking over thinking, poor, next chance, I need to take this.
Yeah, when they're doing it, that feeling is not nice.
Do you know what I mean? It's the worst thing. You know, if you miss the chance and you look over and you see them running back and they're taking a jumper off, you're thinking, my head's got
rattled.
You're thinking, if the next one comes for me quickly.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Oh, the next chance comes. Because then you know, when you score and you're getting taken off, it's like, It's different, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, see, like coaching the academy now, right? So, all the teams that we've played, I do look and think, right, who's this? I always look for like the number nines. At Tottenham, there's some good number nines, and like I enjoy working with them, these younger players. But I still feel like it is different now compared to years ago. Because years ago there was like loads.
You see, like the younger players now, when you're saying, like, you see the nines, are they trying to like make them stay as nines, or is it like that forward thing where they want them to have to be able to do stuff from the left, do stuff from the right?
I would worry that they would make you a winger today.
Yeah. But this is what I mean. You never know. That's what I'm saying.
No, they would.
If I was put out wide and I'm not getting these chances in front of goal, then I'm missing all these opportunities. Do you know what I mean? I'm not getting the chances. I'm not getting all these good habits and that. So then, when you do, if you get into the first team, you're not as good as you should be.
But what's the balance though? Where Manchester City can be the best team in Europe and not win the Champions League, not win the treble, then go, you know what we need?
Haaland.
A striker who's going to bag non-stop. And then they go and buy him. Mm. And then the rest of world football is still going, oh, we'll play wingers up front and we'll play rotating front threes and that.
Yeah.
Like why is there not a connection where it's like, okay, someone needs to go buy Ivan Toney.
Strikers are back, yeah.
There's just more to the game now. Like football's so like, you know the detail that these players get? And it's almost like when you're the coaching that they get, it's almost like they're doing their A and B coaching badges in academies already. When you're coaching the academy, and this is all new to me, but I'm learning that when you're coaching the academy, to make sure they're learning, you ask a lot of questions. So like, for instance, if we're doing a training session now, I'm not just sitting back and then, right, blow the whistle, go on. So I might stop the session and say, okay then, do this, but why am I asking you to do this? So then you give me an answer back. When we review the sessions, and then I might say to them, okay then, why did we do this? What could we have done better? So I'm asking, so they're learning. So it's almost like they're doing the A and B. So the detail that these players get now, like it's completely different. Like whoever would have thought 15 years ago, you see your fullbacks here come inside and play as midfielders?
Never.
Do you know what I mean? You look at how we play at Tottenham, the first team, in the middle of the pitch, there's like five players. Our fullbacks are like playing like number 10s. Can you imagine Nigel Winterburn or Gary Neville playing in midfield?
Or Lee Dixon in the middle. That's Lee not 10 Dixon. In the middle.
You know what's funny though? Back in the day, when we'd do like 11 aside on a Friday or whatever, shadow or whatever, the manager would stop it and say, all right, stop. Go back.
Yeah.
You'll never make...
Yeah. No, exactly.
No questions.
What are you doing there? Go back and defend.
He wouldn't even tell you.
But now there's all rotations.
Sick. Mad.
I'm confident in saying this, right? You're a guy that can see a striker and go, he's got it, he ain't got it. He ain't got it, right? What did you see? Because a lot of Spurs fans will lie and say they saw it. A lot of people lie and say they saw it. A lot of people didn't. What did you see in Harry Kane?
Finishing.
I didn't see it.
You know, like when you're coaching and that, you think like, oh, okay, you could be the best coach in the world, like say Pep and that. But certain things you can't coach.
I will never forget. I watched Harry Kane when he was young play come on at Orion. I never seen him score nothing, no finish or nothing, but he was holding up the ball well, playing. He looked half decent. I asked my brother who played for them, what's that Harry Kane saying? He's like, shocking. This is terrible. I was like, what?
But yeah, but people said that when he was younger. People said when he, but Harry, no one knows, but Harry was actually a midfielder.
Okay.
And that's why when you see now,
that makes sense.
He's passing it and his whole round game and how good he is, not just scoring goals. There's so much more to his game. It's because he's a midfielder. So he was used to facing a goal. Do you know what I mean? But the finishing, I think that was just natural. You can't teach that. He just had that.
Harry Kane was an Arsenal fan, boys.
Yeah.
But there's vicious rumours that you are as well.
No. Who do you support? Yeah, who do you support?
I don't support anyone.
West
what?
Ham.
Of course you support
don't
someone.
Tell them. West Ham.
No, my local team was West Ham. So all my family, obviously West Ham fans, that was my local team. I used to go to Upton Park. But I used to watch forwards. So I wouldn't be like, that's my team. I used to watch like all different centre forwards.
So you're like, it just happened that Ian Wright was
because Tigo was Arsenal
all the way
fan.
For his childhood.
Arsenal fan.
And him and Leon wore Arsenal kits together.
Who do you think is the best African forward?
What? George Weah.
Yeah.
Didier Drogba.
What answer did you want? What did you want?
I was just asking, innit?
Okay, if you want to ask that question, I'm going to ask mine now.
Yeah, go on, ask your question.
What's your thoughts on black goalkeepers today? I made a song about them and I'm not sure. I'm old school.
What do you think?
Me, honestly, I don't like it.
I think that's a thing that people have just said over the years, isn't it? Like,
yeah, but he doesn't like two black centre-backs either.
Huh? Yeah. Power.
I rate that, but I think we're too fast to play in goal.
I think full-back's got to be mixed race now as well, man.
Oh, what, James Trent,
it just
James
make,
Trent
it
Walker?
It makes sense now. For that algae, they're getting the best of both worlds, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, we've talked about this. But they said the same about black quarterbacks. Yep. You said the same about wide receivers in NFL.
I don't know. I
mean, really?
Yeah.
I don't know
about NFL. Well, all the technical things.
We don't receive that.
No, basically. So
like, black man
can't do the patient sitting in the pocket.
Black man shooting free throws.
No, they're dunkers. In basketball,
dunkers,
that,
yeah, aggressive, like aggressive, yeah.
White people used to shoot, but now it's everyone shoots.
That's like, did they even let black people take free kicks like that? I remember one time you wanted to take a free kick and the other guy took it and he scored.
Oh, Gilberto. Like, right, cool. I was in Barrett.
You were fuming, though.
Yeah. That was his first goal.
Yeah, I was going to say that. To be fair, he is dead, so I hate
him. Oh, so that's why you wanted the ball.
Yeah, that's why
it's because, brother, you don't score, bro.
That's why you say I'm angry guy. I'll lose my head.
Bro. Wait, you bit Mascherano?
Nah.
Troy, that's Troy. Yeah, that's
But do you know what? I remember because when you go to the MLS, you can sign three DPs, yeah, designated players. So basically, it's weird. So
salary
the rest
cap.
Of the salary cap.
Okay.
So the three players, you pay them whatever you want.
Mm.
So when we went there, it was me, Gilberto, and Michael Bradley. He played for Villa. He was at Roma.
Barled, yeah.
So obviously, Gilberto was doing everything but score. Like, he used to work hard, do everything. So when we got a free kick, I thought, why are you taking a free kick for? Like, it wasn't even like I wanted to take it, but give it to someone else. So like, I remember saying to him, like, give me the ball. He had a moment again, so it was like, no, I'm taking it. So I just punched it out of his hand. And then he said, no, that, he went having it. And then when he hit it, and I thought, nah. And the camera, I knew that the camera was going to go on me.
So you lost.
Yeah. So when the camera went on me, I was I didn't know what to do. I was embarrassed.
Yeah, but you're a better man than me for laughing like that, boy. Because I'll still be mad.
Yeah. We're very interested in Americans in football on this show. Because there's some good American players, some really good American goalkeepers. You've been and played, obviously it's Canada, but you played against a lot of Americans. What was the level of the Americans like? To me, there's a lot of like Mexican players and Bolivians.
Man, you got to get the ball.
No, you don't want to buck the Mexican Hesses, bro. I'm telling you.
Did you play with Giovinco?
Yeah.
No, he was. Whew.
He would have done at Juventus.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He was smaller than me, innit? Like, some of his goals that he scored there. Oh. But that Toronto, the experience was good. There's a lot of travelling. My first game was against Seattle, 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I got on a plane and it was weird. You know, I spoke about the DPs, right? This was weird. I remember we got on a plane and then looked at my ticket. I thought, oh, nice, big business class. Like, so it was me, Joe Burton, and Brad. Next minute, I see the manager walk past me.
Oh, no.
The rest of the players walked past me. I thought, nah. So I remember saying to Michael Brown, I said, what, is it just us three sitting at the front of the plane?
They're with the crowd.
Bro, they're at the back.
Oh, they're
standing for a game.
DP. What's it called?
DP. DP. So I'm sitting there like this. So I'm like, this is mad, you know. What the man, I'm at the front, the manager's at the back.
Did you pull him up on it? Did you tell them, like, from now on, we all fly together or we don't fly at all?
I'll cover it. I'll cover it.
I didn't say nothing.
You know that on the train, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? Just like.
I said, what did you have? I see, Bass. But the whole experience was, I enjoyed it. Out of my comfort zone. Did. And yeah, the story was just mad. I actually thought I was going to stay at Tottenham for the rest of my career. I was like 31 at the time. Tottenham got decent money. I remember speaking to the chairman. He said, listen, you've got nothing to prove. It'd be good for you. I remember meeting a guy called Tim Lewicki. Did you watch the Beckham documentary?
Mm-hmm.
There was an American guy talking about taking him to the Galaxy. So he come to London to meet me, done a presentation. He walked in with about four guys. I was sitting there with my agent, right? In my mind, I thought, you know what? It's just like, it's a presentation. There's no guarantees I'm going to go there. I'll just go and talk to them and see what it is. And sat down. He gave me like an iPad. He goes, just have a look at this quickly. So I click play. And it was like a presentation of the city tour and all that sort of stuff, and like see the fans and all that sort of stuff, the stadium, the training ground. I thought, okay, this looks good. Then he gave me like a, you know, the Raptors shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me the Raptors shirt at the back. He said, yeah, this is from all the players. They all signed it to Jermaine. They all signed it.
Kawhi.
Okay. Then he gave me like this little brochure. Yeah? So I'm reading this brochure. He goes, no. I turned to the back. It was my, so basically me in a Toronto shirt. So I'm thinking, this is mad, you know, because... I'm looking at my agent thinking, is the deal done already?
It's manipulation.
Like, I can't remember. So I'm a Tottenham player, right? So anyway,
grooming.
Next minute, I left there. My agent goes to me, so what do you think? I said, yeah, good. I said, but for me to go there, like 31, I want like a 4-year contract. Like, do you know what I mean? Some security. I'm going from here, so I'm going to Canada, MLS. So it was like, cool, no problem. My agent left the table. He come back, he goes, 4 years.
On
done.
A Zanko.
Done.
on
a Nokia.
Yeah.
He said, done. So I was like, really? So now the ball's in my court, and I was like, okay. Now I remember I went out for dinner, and I was with my cousins and that. And I remember my phone rang. It was like a private number. I never answered private number. Private number.
Like, who's bailiff? This?
Bailiffs.
I went, hello. Is this Jermaine? I said, yeah. Who's this? Drake. I thought it was Aaron Lennon.
Yo, Jermaine, fam. Wagwan.
He goes, yeah, like. You need to come, like, I'm an ambassador of the club. Trust me, you'll love it. Come over here. Like, he said to me, like, all that paparazzi stuff in London, you don't get none of that stuff here. Come enjoy your football. The fans are amazing. He said, I can walk down the street with Madonna. No one will take a picture of me. You got to come. I was like, so I played it cool, innit? I played it cool on the phone. Yeah, cool. Put the phone down. I couldn't believe it.
They said, you screamed, ah!
It was mad. So obviously, this Tim Lewicki guy got, obviously, Drake to phone me and just to basically get
sweet
the deal done.
The deal, yeah.
Who phones you to join Sunderland?
No, wait.
There's got to be a rapper phoned you to join Sunderland.
Gus Poyet.
So you know this Toronto thing. Obviously, you're doing the whole, I want the 4 years, but you're kind of like, you still don't want to go, though.
Trying to talk them out.
Yeah.
I'm just
you
like,
can't believe they're giving you.
Because I'm still thinking, I'm not leaving Tottenham. Because round about, AVB was the manager, and we brought in Sardado. So Sardado played like league games, but I was scoring consistently in Europa League. Every game I was scoring goals in Europa League, and I felt really sharp at that time. So I thought, I don't really need to be leaving. Like, even if I'm not getting as much minutes in the league,
they're coming.
But we can.
They
we can
come in.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But we can challenge Europa League and that. So I thought. But when I sort of like, I said, okay, 4-year deal.
It was cool, man. Drake done it for you, man. He cast you.
I don't think it was Drake.
That was peak Drake too.
It was Drake.
Private number.
That was peak Drake. I'll go to hockey if Drake called me.
Private number though. That's childish.
That is one thing we talk about on this show a lot.
Said childish.
Give me his number.
Give me your number, innit?
Yeah, it's true.
Jay could. You could play Saudi now, right?
Probably.
Let's put Jermaine in the Prem right now.
Okay, yeah, good point.
How old is he first?
I'm 41, bro.
Oh, you mean prime Jermaine?
Any age Jermaine Defoe before like 31, he plays for Arsenal right now. Arsenal need Jermaine Defoe right now.
United need him more.
Yeah, but I like Eddie Nketiah, you know?
Yes, we got Jermaine Defoe. That's what I said. They didn't believe, man.
What?
Bro, allow it.
This is him doing this thing again now.
Now he's saying it himself. What are you lot saying? Say my bad to me right now.
No.
You never said that. Put your hand down.
You never said that, though.
And say my... I said... No. Should I get the tweet?
Well, Eddie is as good as Jermaine Defoe.
No, I said he's like Jermaine Defoe.
But he's not.
He is like him.
Nah, he's not. He's not as sharp, mate.
You don't think he's sharp?
Not as sharp as you was, bro.
Nah, but he's sharp. Eddie's sharp, you know?
You were sharp. He hasn't got that first...
I'm getting mad at
him. 5 yards.
Jay,
are you saying Eddie's like you?
No, it's not even a bit. No, because you know what? He reached out to me. Eddie reached out to me, yeah. But before he reached out to me, I did a game. He didn't score. West Ham versus Arsenal. Last year, I did it for Sky. I remember saying to Graham Souness and Jamie Renner, I said, you know what? I said, this guy, I like him.
I like him.
Everything he did, like, he held the ball up, he's sharp. And I think if he plays like that, Eddie, he needs, like, he just needs love.
Yeah.
Go and play. You ain't scored for 3-4 games. I don't care. You're playing.
Listen, he might go on to be a great player. He's doing really well now at a high level, by the way. But he didn't need love. He was a different breed
of
player.
He had it, though. Harry Redknapp loved him from the second he joined.
Yeah, but he didn't need it. He didn't need love.
Let's put more weight on this beef.
He didn't need it.
Because how did we get to Eddie in the first place, Slippy?
Because I said what I felt.
Yeah, say it.
What did you feel?
I felt that Darren Bent. He's all got a different name. Darren Bent is a better nine than you. Not footballer.
Come on, man.
What do you mean? I said it, though. You lot didn't want to let me land. He's not footballer, but I said nine.
But do you know what? See, Benty, I've always said from day one, we see when he was at Charlton and Ipswich, I was the first one to be like, right, who's this guy? I like him.
So you put him on.
You put him on.
Who's this guy? But you see, like Benty, for instance, like you wouldn't say Benty was like an Ian Wright.
Nah.
Do you know what I mean? But then my whole career, people compare me to like Wrighty.
Who would you say Darren Bent's like now?
Stan Collymore. No, not even.
Nketiah.
Stan Collymore.
It's Nketiah.
Nah, I'd say like.
Wait, hold on. Did you say my bad then?
Haaland without the with less goals.
Watkins.
No, I wouldn't even say Watkins. Because for me, Watkins could play out wide. He's a bit more. Nah, but like that kind of.
Yeah, but Watkins is
good.
Yeah, I rate Watkins. I think Watkins is cold. I think Watkins is better than Darren Bent.
What? You think he's a better finisher?
Nah, not forget Haaland himself. Hoyland.
Okay.
Hoyland.
But that's getting.
You know what I mean, though?
Like, I know, I heard what Benty said. Benty said about, like, obviously, I should have played for City, all that sort of stuff. Cool, no problem. I played with Benty at Tottenham. Didn't have a good time to be at because when you play for Tottenham, it's different. Because
yeah, he was better than Matt Tottenham.
When you play for, like, say when you play at Charlton, when that suited his game more because you're playing against teams that dominate the ball and that, and they just counter attack, and then he was dynamic. He's just running behind all the time.
He's robust.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like Benty was different to Berbatov. He's been different to Robbie Keane. He was different to me. He was different to like. But I just feel like
was he a natural finisher? I don't, because every time he scored, I never willed any of his goals.
No, but again, that's where you got finishing and shooting.
Yes.
He could finish because
yes.
he had the goals, didn't
he?
He couldn't
was a
strike a ball like you.
But we're talking,
he couldn't strike a
ball
like a lot
of man.
Yeah, he could finish. There's strikers that strike a ball really well. Yeah, I'm not saying you're like that, but like Gabby Jesus, Firmino, they don't score enough.
I'll give you.
Go on.
I said I want beef.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so Adebayor or the Jermaine Defoe?
Adebayor.
You're joking,
what
brother.
The hell?
What
do you mean?
Crazy.
I hate today.
Tigo.
No, but he's been honest.
Are you, Jermaine? If he wasn't here, if you were here, you wouldn't have said that, bro. Allow it. No way. No way, bro. You're bred in. Whoever's here is the greatest to you.
Jesus.
Because that's like me saying, like, okay, Robbie Fowler or Les Ferdinand. They both scored goals, but they're different forwards because Les Ferdinand's like, I don't know, Adebayor. I would like to play with Adebayor way his game was.
Yeah.
But I would like to play with him, but say for instance if I played with Wright, too similar. Mm. If I played with Robbie Fowler, too similar. Why?
Because you lot were all natural finishers.
No, but let me tell you the truth. If you was playing now, he'd hate you because you're black, and that's fact. That's 100%.
You'd
rate Dan Burt.
He's treating me like a
100%, man.
He's rattled.
You hate black.
You hate Eddie.
You said he's like Eddie.
I've never willed Eddie's goals. Never willed it.
I willed his goals.
So would you keep your two strikers instead of Defoe then?
Who?
Like, because he's Arsenal, innit?
Yeah. I'll take Defoe.
You got Jesus and who you taking out?
Go coach them, please. They need the backlift.
We're on the same page.
Eddie's good, man.
Speaking of finishing, by the way, my favourite goal ever from you.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Rangers.
Yeah,
no, the left foot one.
Left volley. Footing, fake.
I don't know what you did.
That's the most natural finish. A finisher, just no effort. Obviously, the effort's all done before the strike, but.
Be honest, when that went in, you couldn't believe it a bit, innit?
I was laughing. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, because you can. Listen, it doesn't matter how much you practice and that. Like, it's perfect contact, but it wasn't just a goal. It was the, like, I used to say to, you know, the fullback, James Tavernier?
Yeah.
So I used to say to him, when you get it and you're sort of like, you're coming with it, I said, watch my movement. Because in Scotland, the defenders, they get tight. So I said, watch my movement. And as soon as I spin, I said, just play it. So then when he plays it now, so in my mind, I was thinking, right, because the ball travels a long way. And that's it's hard because then you got to concentrate, and then you have to make good contact because sometimes you're training, you do that, the ball goes everywhere. But then once you stay relaxed and just try and get as good contact, because you know where the goal is, and you get good contact. But even when I got good contact, it was like, oh my
God. That was perfect.
Yeah, it was just perfect.
James Tavernier should be playing the Premier League.
He can play. I've always thought that.
I always think that as well. But
penalties. Why do you think? Is he not defensively sound or something?
No, do you know what it is? I think, yeah, sometimes people need to realise, and a lot of people don't actually realise. You see, for Tav, I think, okay, it has to be the right move for him because he's leaving Rangers where Rangers should be playing like, I don't know, say Champions League, yeah? You win the league. It's so difficult to go from, you have to go and experience it at that club. Like the, you talk about like the standards and that expectation. Like you have to, bro, you can't come second. If you come second, you might as well come last. He's thinking, he's in an environment where he's playing in front of 52,000 every week. Crazy Rangers. It feels like 100 when you're in the stadium.
Yeah.
Europa or Champions League. He's the captain. So he's winning trophies. And if you look at the list of Rangers players, some of the players that have played for that football club. Do you know what I mean? Big names in that. So for him, he's thinking, for me to leave here, it has to make sense for me. Because what's the point? You're going to leave, like Joe Aribo, for instance. I love Joe. He's gone from, obviously, he's left Rangers, gone to Southampton. At the time, they were in the Premier League. Like, so it makes sense they're in the Premier League and that. But he had an unbelievable time there. Do you know what I mean? And you don't know what he's thinking now.
I know he's the same age as you. He's Nigerian. That's what Nigerians do.
Well, his hairline's gone, you know. That's my guy. His hairline's gone, bro.
Right, he's a baller, you know.
You didn't have Caribbean shops at Rangers, did you?
Who?
There was no Caribbean shops when you was at Rangers, was there? Or
yeah,
PAX?
Yeah, in Glasgow, there's a couple, you know.
Caribbean?
In Glasgow, yeah.
Or PAX?
You Caribbean?
Yeah, St. Lucia.
I think he's from Zambia, you know.
Who?
I think he's from Zambia all this whole time.
Who told you that?
Why's your face like that, though?
No. What do you mean? No, because he knows. I thought he was gonna say Jamaican or something. Like.
I thought he said Jamaican. In my Jamaica would get to the World Cup argument. You was in my squad. I got a
serious. You got my boy Kamar Roof.
You ratted a lot of school kids. Still, a lot of school kids were backing you. No, on a Jamaican.
We all thought he was Jamaican.
St. Lucian, bro. But see, you're Nigerian, no?
Yeah.
If he takes it out of you.
See, I said, I'm not going to do what you did. No, I'm not. I'm not Nigerian.
You're Jamaican.
I said, no, I'm not. Have I made it sassy?
Any Ghanaians?
I'm Ghanaian.
Oh, he's Ghanaian.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Who does the best jollof then?
Ghanaians. Basmati rice.
It's true, though.
Long grain rice.
It's true, though.
I have this argument about jollof, Nigerians or Ghanaians?
It's Ghanaian.
It's got to be. He's Nigerian, by the way. I don't know why I didn't.
Serious?
Yes. Yes, you are.
He's Sudan.
Look at the colour of your shirt. Subliminally.
I'm from St. Lucia. If he's not from Zambia, then I'm from St. Lucia.
Is not having an E at the end of the Jermaine, is that a St. Lucian thing?
Yeah, no E now.
There's no one, I've never known a Jermaine with no E at the end of
Jermaine.
Where
is he?
It's Jermaine.
Not on his. No.
On mine, no.
Wait, I thought manager could put E on it.
Everyone else, yeah.
Jermaine. French.
Jermaine.
Jermaine.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Jermaine would be the E.
Main, innit? Jermaine.
Who's your least favourite manager?
Yeah.
Least favourite?
Yeah, I know he's right there. You can think of him right there.
Do you know what? when you say like least favourite, it's like, I didn't even like, of course you have to focus on the managers because, they pick the team. If the manager picks you, you like them. If you don't pick, you don't like them. As simple as that. But
who do you have at Sunderland? David Moyes.
I had Gus Poyet, Dick Advocaat, David Moyes, Sam Allardyce. Sam was the best. Mm. Sam was the best. It will back. Sam was the best. If you're doing well for him, Sam was like Harry, basically. Do you know that old school, like, just understood, like, the human side? Get that right, then you get the best out of the players.
The style of play matter? Because did he suit it for you?
Yeah, but bro, I got back in England squad at 34.
Yeah, Sam's the best then, cool.
Who is your favourite centre-back to rattle? Like, who is you like, yeah, I got this. Tomorrow, I'm just going to elbow him. Like, ooh.
I mean, 5 goals against Wigan.
Titus, yeah, but Titus is my boy, though. Titus Bamley, that's my boy.
You can't add Titus as my boy.
That's my boy, man.
Hey, Titus.
Stigma around him.
I'm clipping this for Titus.
That stigma around him that he gets toasted still. Titus Bramble, bro, you're killing your boy.
But he could play, you know,
him.
Titus. People don't realise.
Everyone says that, but all I know Titus for is getting corked.
No, but you know him for he's a player as well.
And OGs.
He had mad bad luck, man. It's like, sometimes some people make mistakes to get away with it. But then you talk about centre forwards, yeah? He's making mistakes he's playing against top centre forwards. Top centre forwards. Do you know what I mean? So, back then, you're making mistakes, you're getting punished.
You're getting punished anytime, though.
You bagged a hat-trick against Ashley Williams. When he was at Swansea, you were at Sunderland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's an angry man.
That night before that game, I went to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
I couldn't sleep.
Now you're being rude,
so
though.
You broke the rule.
You're being rude.
And what you say? You don't go out before game.
I don't. I was at home. I couldn't sleep. I remember. I think I went out. I had a coffee. Something happened and that, and I couldn't sleep. I remember thinking I was panicking. I thought we're playing. Good thing we're playing tomorrow night. I didn't go to sleep until 5 in the morning. But I remember that afternoon, like, cause you know what it's like. You know your preparation has to be like, maybe getting a pinch, thinking, scored a hat trick. Couldn't believe it.
So that's on Ashley Williams. Anthony Gardner scored a hat trick against him when he was at Hull.
Hey, the third, did you see the third goal?
This guy's a database, man.
I was chatting to Michael Owen about it recently because we was comparing the finishing. Yeah, I remember that was like second game of the season, 2010.
Was you better than Michael Owen?
What do you mean? When you say better, what do you mean better than Michael Owen? Like, as in like...
Finisher.
There was a period where, when I was young, me and Glenn Roder sat down, because it's all about development. Mm-hmm. So me and Glenn Roder sat down and we used to watch videos of Michael Owen. For me to turn around and be like, you know what, I was better than Michael Owen. Mm-hmm. Like, I would never say that because there's a lot of his game that I liked and I thought I'm going to try and put that into my game in terms of like his movement. But Michael Owen was, he don't get enough credit.
But I see a video of him blasting a ball, a 6-year-old was
against the U. I see that.
Like, he's ruthless.
He's a killer, man.
Yeah,
he's
man.
He's a killer, bro.
Bubbly.
Is there anyone we know that you played with at Sunrup?
Oh.
Obviously, played with 90, but you know that.
Ledley was a year above.
Year above. All that lot was a year above. So in my year, it was just me and Leon Knight.
But Ronnie Gould, you know my mate Ronnie?
Ronnie Gould.
Patsy Gradley.
Patsy, yeah.
What was so special about Senra? Because that's a ridiculous churn of players in that period of time.
I think it was like, the teams before us, they always won. So it's almost like, okay, then usually the next one, you just have to win as well.
We had the best age group. Because that JT one, that Ledley King, Bobby Zamora.
No, we had the best one.
Yeah?
Yeah, me and 90.
It's only two of you, though.
Only two, though, yeah.
It don't matter. Because, yeah, but when we're scoring 60 goals each.
Imagine that front two, though, coming up and just seeing Jermaine Defoe and Leon Knight.
Was it just scoring goals, or was it tackle me and after the game, you lot have done?
How many red cards?
That's what I'm thinking.
None. We were just different. Like, you see, back then, when teams were like normal kids, we had our names on the back of a shirt.
Okay.
Our presentation, we had like Kevin Campbell and that, come and present the trophies. Teams were having like oranges and at halftime we was having bananas. We were different.
Big flex.
Potassium is good for
cramp. You know what? You see football, yeah? Small details. People don't realise. You know that's... If I'm in a team, yeah, and normally everyone has like oranges. All of a sudden I look over, I see a team having bananas. I'm thinking, straight away, just that psychological... Right, they're different.
Industry plants.
The other day, our boys played the other day and the other team were walking off at halftime. Got our boys together now. Before the game, played against Fulham. We come together, we just jog in together. And you look over, you think, they're on it. Little things, but organized, football, small details, I'm telling you.
When from those youth days though, right, you go from Charlton to West Ham and they pay a lot of money for you.
Yeah.
Now, in this day and age, if it doesn't matter if you're 16, if it doesn't matter if you're 15, if you're moving from Charlton to West Ham for a lot of money, you're benefiting financially.
Yeah.
Whereas back then, it was very much like, okay, no, the clubs are dealing with this and you're just, you don't even get pro terms till you're ready to get pro terms. Do you think it's better now that a young player will be subject to a move like that and will be better off financially? Or do you feel like it helps you then just to be like, I'm just moving to another academy here. Okay, I'm worth 1.5.
I don't even think young players should even think about money at that age. Because sometimes, you know, when you actually focus on money at that age and you ain't even played a game, then it's almost like that becomes the best contract you ever earn. Mm. Because you're so focused on money, the social media, all the other stuff, that's not important.
That's what I'm trying to tell Tigo.
But for me, I think the only thing, that's why people don't realise, see West Ham, they've done a lot for me. And moving out of East London to I think we moved from Beckton to like Chingford.
Bruh.
And remember, when you're from the East End, Chingford, where's that?
Mm-hmm, facts.
I don't know where Chingford is. Even when I went alone to Bournemouth and Harry said to RJ, I'm sending you to Bournemouth. I'm thinking Bournemouth. I'm thinking, right, I'm getting on a plane or something. Right, you know what I'm saying? Bournemouth, where's that?
Vegas.
Bro, I'm in the East End. You don't go nowhere. Yeah. You don't go nowhere. I just go to my cousins. And, do you know what I mean? So yeah, but I think like for young players, so West Ham did that. They believed in me because they paid 1.6 million. I didn't even kick the ball. There was just potential. I come back from Lillishall. Yeah, Harry ran up, go and get him. When I was 50, I'm like, who's this kid? Go and get him. Okay, yeah, get the family a house. Parents, expenses. They did everything. So then all I got to do is just go and play football. Just go and play football.
You knew everything was patterned.
Everything was patterned.
But again, obviously them times, Cameron comes out of a pink Range Rover and a pink jacket matching.
Who?
Cameron.
Cameron.
Killer okay.
Cam.
A little bit later, but yeah.
Okay. But you see all them like rap videos, you won't think to yourself, Bob, I want to get a Bentley or...
No, but all I wanted to do, you know what? When I remember when I signed the Adidas deal when I was like 14, yeah, 15. I signed Adidas deal. And they took me to a place called Stockport. They gave me and my mom
a place called Stockport.
Now you're from. Like me, you're
that's
like
where
me.
He's from. That's Stockport. Where he's from.
The geography thing weren't his story, you know.
They took us to Stockport and they gave me and my mum and that these big Adidas bags. I said, go and get what you want. So for me, I was just buzzing. I was just like, raw, different, fresh trainers every day at the box. And I'm walking around East and that, everything, Adidas. That's all I cared about. I didn't care about like, oh, I need to go out and go and buy this, and that. I didn't, got my Adidas stuff and that, and I was just football.
But you know what though, at the time though, because I remember, that was the flex though.
That was the flex. Fresh trainers.
To be endorsed by Adidas. Yeah.
Fresh trainers, every
was
day
he getting
box.
Like taken out of school and that, like to go training?
Yeah, but I left school in the year 9 to go away for 2 years.
Lily was
the
school.
Oh, Lily School's
that's the
England, school,
that's the
yeah?
The school we went to, yeah.
So you have no education?
So there's no girl? You know,
we went to, because before I left, I was at St. Bonaventure's, all boys' school.
Oh, so now you went to another boys' school?
No, I went to, it was like, we trained every day. We lived here, trained every day. We went to like a local school in the area.
Okay.
And it was a mixed school.
And what area was that in then?
Like Shropshire.
Pardon?
Shropshire, bro.
Shropshire.
What's that like?
Telford. That was a local. Telford. Yeah.
So there's no gal there, basically, bro. Gal in
Telford. I linked a gal in Telford one time.
You linked a gal in Telford? She had no teeth, bro.
No, man. She
no
was clean.
No gal in Telford ain't got no teeth.
You played with Les Ferdinand, right? You played him at the end of his career. But yeah. Les Ferdinand was great.
He's from Congo. I don't care. He's from Congo.
That was Ham, yeah.
St. Lucia.
He's got the Congo thing.
Shut up, bro.
He has got the Congo haircut.
He did, he did.
That's the Congo trim, bro.
No, but every black man had
every
that trim.
No, brother, it was only the Congolese men in the 90s, bro. You weren't there.
No, that was big. That was big in Brixton. That one.
Say, Rio's got that trim now.
Bro, Rio's got that.
Rio's got that trim right now.
What is going on with Rio?
You were from
right
Zaire,
now?
Not what? Congo. You're from Zaire.
Mark Morrison, bro.
You and Rio are still calling it.
Huh?
You and Rio are still calling it.
Yeah.
You ain't called him about that trim.
He done it himself. It's calm.
Yeah, he had trims though.
Do you know what? It's weird though. I actually said that. I said he's got a different trim.
This trim's a horror show.
I actually said that.
He's got a different trim.
That trim's different.
Not his best.
You don't like it?
Nah. It's a horror show.
A bit high. The fade's high. Isn't
it's
it?
A horror fade, show.
The fade is high.
The fade's on his head top.
I'm going to go out on a limb, yeah? And say that he don't like it either. He got screwed.
Were people coming for him?
Yeah.
Really?
Trending. Yeah.
He done it himself.
Yeah, but Rio don't care.
He shouldn't.
No, he's got swag though. He's got swag.
But Les Ferdinand, once he ended his playing career, he went into like behind the scenes in football and he made it his mission to like employ as many black coaches, black directors, black everything else as possible. Obviously, he left QPR last year, but are there any other people in football that are trying to bridge that gap?
There's
right
loads. Mm. I think Troy Townsend and Andros's dad's done a lot of work.
Yeah.
All the campaigns and stuff. And remember, these campaigns have begun since 1992.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
These things are... So when you see Kick It Out and Show Racing the Red Card and, you know, players still wearing a T-shirt and all that sort of stuff, take a knee. These campaigns, it's been going on since 1992. And then you think about, like, obviously, black managers, like 4.4% black managers, all that sort of stuff. So it's like, at some stage, these numbers have to change. Mm. So Rangers done well, to be fair, because when I finished playing at Rangers, they said, you know what? Stevie was ledge. Stevie said to me, JD, I know, like, realistically you're going to play for another year, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you like a player coach role so that you get that experience, that coaching experience here, so when you leave Rangers then at least you've got that year of a little bit of experience coaching. Because I remember before that I said, you know what, someone asked me a question about, are you going to go into coaching? I said, you know what, I don't want to waste my time, if I'm being honest. I would love to, because obviously I love football, but I don't want to waste my time doing my badges, all that sort of stuff, and then not get an opportunity. Then someone phoned me from Sky and said, can we do an interview? Because I heard what you said, it's quite sad. I said, yeah, cool, no problem. And he said, so why'd you say that? I said, because there's been players before me that I speak to, like Les, Sol. I watched Dwight York, I've messaged Dwight. I mean, Dwight York, who's done more than, in terms of medals, who's won more than Dwight York and Andy Cole? These, do you know what I mean? So why am I any different? So I said, I don't want to just sort of like do all this stuff, put the work in and not get a chance. But it's not stopped me. So I'm obviously doing my badges, I'm coaching at Tottenham, but I would like to think at some stage the numbers change and there are more black managers and black coaches.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, obviously management, yeah? Would you want to like use your, say like your connections and go straight into a big job, or would you want to drop down into the Football League and work your way up or something? Or you just don't even care?
It's like anything. You know when, if you get a first job, yeah? Mm. if you're working with good players, it makes your job a lot easier. Do you know what I mean? So it's got, for me, it has to be the right one for me. But then I think I'm not going to pick and choose and say, do you know what, I want to go to the Championship first, or I want to go like a Premier League job, because you just don't know what's out there. You don't know the opportunity. So if someone comes to me and be like, oh, this is a League One job, like, what do you think? And I look at the squad and I'll be like, okay then, it's League One and that, the squad's decent. What's the ambition? Mm. Or Championship, what's the ambition? That, so I don't think you can pick and choose.
Because Sol Campbell did great at Macclesfield.
Macclesfield, yeah.
Paul Ince did great at MK Dons. But then it's like you go to a squad in a different league and the squad's not good enough for the league, then it's a different job. And but
it has to be the right one.
To always make it be like, oh, that's his level. His level's League Two. His level's League One. His level's Championship. But actually,
have you got your head around that players are like different from you? Because do you lose your head in coaching drills? Because obviously, I mean, finishing drills, sorry.
No.
Because obviously, I'll just there's certain in. Players who are looking thinking like, why can't you do this?
Man can do that first time.
Yeah. Thierry said that, innit? Yeah. But I don't think you, I think you have to like, you see when you start coaching, the ego has to go. You have to put the ego to the side, because I can't expect someone to be like, because there's been a few times I've joined in the session and the young players, they love it, do you know what I mean? But I can't expect someone to be at that same
level. But even
in
that, the back of your head, you ain't seen someone do like a finish and you thought, how are you so...
No, but always, listen, it takes time, innit? Do you know what I mean? It takes time. I'm not saying like when I was 16, I was like...
Well, you did say that when you were 16.
I'm not probably thinking... Every chance I get, I'm going to score. You're going to miss chances.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that, and then
Ian Wright might have been looking at some of his finishes going like, he thinks he's so sick.
But right, look, do you know the maddest thing is? Right, that for me, can you imagine, right? If you imagine growing up as growing up in the East End, loving Ian Wright, post all over the Warner, and then I walk into West Ham, the first person I saw was Wrighty, because Harry planned it. I know he planned it, was Wrighty. And then when I walked in, Wrighty knew who I was. So can you imagine what that does for a 16-year-old? Mm. And then years later, the reason why I knew that is because Mark Bright, and Brighty told me recently, and then he actually said it in a documentary. So I was at Charlton when I was 14. So what happened, so when I come home from Lillishaw, I go to Charlton and train with the first team at like 14, 15. And then we did a finishing session one day. And then I didn't know this. Brighty told me recently. So Brighty said, he phoned Wrighty. I said, right, because they were like this from Palace. He's phoned Wrighty, said, Wrighty, I've just seen this kid and he's you, basically. Like, it's crazy. So obviously, right, so then when I was linked to go to West Ham, they're having these conversations. So right is like, so obviously right is thinking, I can't wait to meet him and see him. And so that's why he knew when I was coming, like he knew, and he was sort of like waiting for me, because obviously Brighty told him.
Did you ever get that call? Jermaine, you need to see this kid. He's you.
I've had, do you know what? Brad Friedel said to me at Tottenham, he said, JD, Harry Kane's finishing. He said, he reminds me of you. The no backlift. Like, he said, Jay, when you leave this club, and then when I left Tottenham, I said to the kit man, I said, Steve, I said, you see this 18 shirt? I said, give it to Harry.
How many times are you going to change room and one of your teammates got a new hairline?
What do you mean?
Like they went Turkey or something.
Who did that?
Loads of times. Come in and that, like, I'm just saying to the boys that, hold on a minute. How you gone from skin fade, Andros? He's gone from skin fade.
No, he's the poster boy for transplants.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
has ever had a better hair transplant.
He's got a good one.
Skin fade and that, and then you've got like, you put gel in your hair. It's mad.
Do you know who's good? Wait, you know who's good for it? Tottenham are good for putting young black coaches
Ugo
in.
Ugo Ehiogh. Well,
Chris Hughton. My cousin Justin Cochran.
I spoke to Justin the other day.
Yes, my cousin.
That's my
right?
guy. So top coach.
Top coach. I think he's going to be an England manager. He's going to bring me in.
Bring you in and do what? What are you going to do?
What would you do? Well, literally, what would what you do?
I've got many roles. Yeah, mentally.
Bro, do your badges.
He hasn't got his level one. He ain't got his level one.
I'm halfway through my UEFA B, donut.
You ain't got how? Without a level one?
If you get your B, oh, you can manage. With B, you can manage, you know.
He's a liar. He ain't got
you can be
it.
A part of a coaches. Yeah,
he's
your
got
B.
No badges. You know, his first aid is expired. His first aid is expired.
But yeah, I think Justin will go on to do well.
But we need managers as well, though, like who build coaching staffs with black assistants and black first team coaches, because that's again what's lacking is that pathway. Like McCarthy had black coaches,
right?
But it was like you would notice it.
Terry O'Connor
is not mad. A lot would do
you
it.
Shouldn't really, should no. you?
Yeah. I feel like they don't even want. Do the ex black man even want to manage though?
They don't, man. We're always late. We kiss our teeth
but
too
why,
much.
But why? This is what I'm saying. But why?
Maybe it's a narrative that's been pushed out there, or maybe that like, the man they ain't vocal about it or something. But I can't think of bare black man.
But it's not just ex
players. I know they're not giving it opportunities, but I can't think of bare black man or no ex players. I got to go if I don't know the random news. Mm-hmm. But
I'm just saying like, that I'd like dying to manage, like actually trying to.
Yeah, I want to manage. I look at players that I played with, my generation. I look at players that I played with and they're managing. And for me, I feel like, I just think,
the first team you manage, I'm going to support them.
Yeah, me too, man.
We're going to be their hooligans.
Yeah.
Trust me. The ultras, isn't it?
The ultras. Start punching up, man.
Do people ever get onto you for the West Ham thing while we're here?
Yeah, but do you know what? Since then, bro, I've done so much. Like, I did a documentary that's coming out soon. I've spoken a lot about it over the years. And people always say to me, oh, do you regret anything? You know, I like to think that in life, yeah, things happen for a reason, isn't it? Listen, I've sat and I spoke about how I feel about West Ham. They bought me for all that money as a youngster, gave me my chance. If it weren't for West Ham, I wouldn't have played in the first team so young. There's no guarantee I would have gone on to play for England, all that stuff. So when I was young and I handed in a transfer request at West Ham, when my agent said to me about transfer request, I didn't even know what that was. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just about football, innit? I'm just football. And I got to a situation where it was almost like it was taken out of my hands because someone was said to me, oh, do you know what? You need to do this because... And then they're not only sending this to me, but to my mum, my stepdad. So I thought, okay, then if you're telling me to do this, you're my agent, I trust you, then this must be like the norm. Then years later, all these years later, and then I look at it and I think, you're handing a transfer request 24 hours after the club got relegated. Like, if I saw a young player do that now, I'd be like, who told him to do that?
Yeah, 24 hours.
And the thing is as well, when the agent wrote the letter, the agent didn't come with me. I went on my own. He gave me the letter and I had to go on my own.
Who made it public?
Lescott said this as well.
Yeah, I went on my own and I knew and it was the worst feeling because it's something I like, because I always think here, if you're going to leave a club, if a club wants you, they'll come and get you anyway, right?
And you were never playing in the Championship.
Yeah, but and I ended up staying there for a while, but I just thought like, especially now, because I spoke about it so much, and of course there's going to be times where when I play for Tottenham and I'm playing against West Ham, the fans are going to give me stick. But then if I walk down the street, I bump into West Ham fans all the time, like they're cool. Mm-hmm. But I do look back and think, I wish I didn't do that because I didn't want to do that anyway.
No.
Because I didn't want to go to the club that gave me a chance and say, oh, 24 hours after you get relegated and say, even if it was a month after, like, I'm asking to leave the club.
Do you think the club were more offended that it was like, oh, bro, your value is not being a request. Your value is us knowing big clubs are going
to
come
to
you.
I think the club just looked at it and thought, who got you to do this? They actually felt sorry for me.
Okay, yeah.
Did you ever get close to joining the traditional top four?
Loads of times, like Liverpool, United.
What's the closest one?
Well, it's quite funny though, because United boys, a few times the United boys, even when I was at Sunderland, right?
Yeah.
When I was at Sunderland.
You lot had flipping, what's the Nigerian?
Igalo.
Yeah, you could have.
When I was at Sunderland, I remember John O'Shea and a few of the boys said to me, JD, what happened that year? He was meant to come to United and that. We all thought he was coming.
Mm.
Because I always knew when I was at West Ham, Alex Ferguson, like even Rio says it now, said Fergie, like Rio went to Fergie and said, oh, what's happening with JD?
Mm-hmm.
And Fergie said, oh, Harry's not going to let him out yet. He's young and he's got time. He's not going to let him go yet, all that sort of stuff. And that. So people just think, because a manager likes you, it just happens. You know what I mean? And to be honest, around about that time as well, I was linked with United. They bought Louis Saha and he was... But you was going to get linked with clubs.
Yeah.
But then you have to force it.
Can I say on behalf of me, Bazza, Steve and a few of the West Ham boys, we love you still. Nice, love you. Bro. Yeah, you've met Bazza at the boxing.
I speak to Bazza all the time.
There you go. So
I meant to be going to the game tonight, innit?
Yes.
Tonight,
yeah.
Meant to be.
There you go. Yeah, so. We love you still. We love you, mate.
Well, we're running out of time, so we're going to ask a few quick questions. Jermaine, one playmaker you could play with that you've played with in your career?
Modric.
Modric is the one.
The best.
What about the? I've got a question, serious question, because Andy Cole was trying to beat me up because of this question. Like, I say for strikers, 1-on-1 is an easy chance. It's not
hard.
Huh?
It's hard.
He said.
Like Andy Cole got mad at him, you know.
Do you know if you put a goalkeeper there now, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe you're talking to Andy Cole. You're talking to greatness, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you put a goalkeeper there now, you throw the ball to me, and I'll just touch it and bang. Like, I don't have to look, 'cause I know where the goal is.
Mm.
And I've been doing it for 23 years, so I know where the goal is. I don't have to look. But then if I stand over there,
yeah.
And you're giving the ball, and I have to take a touch, I'm thinking, okay, where am I going to pull it? Where's the goalkeeper standing? Am I going to go round him? Too is he coming off his line?
Too much thinking.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking about three or four things. But then, as opposed to like, if you threaten me, just go touch, bang, instinct. It's harder, bro.
So what you're trying to say is not 50-50?
No.
Wait, what's the percentage to you?
It's more in the keeper's favour, isn't it? Slightly.
No way. I'm saying it's 70-30, even 80-20.
To the striker.
To the striker.
No, this is what we do, and everyone's watching. We'll do it. You do it whenever you want. We can wait till the summer.
Ooh.
We're gonna get a goalkeeper.
Yeah,
black
I'm
goalie.
I'm gonna ask someone at Tottenham to use the facilities.
Yeah,
we bring all the cameras.
Oh, PK.
Yeah, we get people to stand there, so add a little bit of pressure to make it real. I'll join. I'll do like a masterclass, different finishes.
This is class.
We'll do like different finishes.
And then when the one-on-one comes, that's the one that I'm going to win. The other finishes, I might, you get it.
Let me just ask a couple more quick questions. What's the best derby match to play in?
The Old Firm.
Old Firm, not Sunderland, Newcastle.
That's unbelievable as well, but the Old Firm. That's unbelievable. All of them are but in terms of the atmosphere and like from what I've experienced and even what I was told before I went to Rangers. It's next level.
And lastly, do you hate international football? Because every time you started, scored multiple goals. Every time tournaments would come, managers would have an excuse as to why Jermaine's not going.
Yeah, but you know, but there's no difference to you mentioned Benty.
Yeah, 100%.
There's one,
yeah.
The one I went to in South Africa, and then you look at it and you think to have a better chance at a squad. Because let's be honest, yeah, to win a World Cup, bro, can you imagine the feeling? So then you're thinking, then it's not even about just you anymore. You're thinking, right, we just want the best squad. And there was times where, like, even one before, where me and Sean went to South Africa. Before that, Sean should have gone to another one. Bentley should have, like, even years before, Wright should have gone. Yeah, Andy exactly. Cole should have gone.
Yeah. One last question. Haaland or Kane?
What?
Oh. Huh? Haaland or Kane?
Haaland. I thought you said Haaland.
Haaland.
Yeah. Well, so I'm pronouncing it in Norwegian. I'm trying to get into pronouncing it the Norwegian way.
Say again. See, like, now, yeah? For me, I'll say different players.
Yeah, but you got to only start with one up front.
The main role is the manager of this team.
Yeah.
And he needs to buy a striker.
He has to start one of these two. Who are you starting? You need to win this game.
Harry, bruv.
Thank you. Boom.
H.
With it.
What?
What? Kane. Harry. Yeah.
Kane.
Do you know why? Yeah. Do you know why? You know, because I think, you see with Harry, yeah? Like, Haaland scores goals. Harry scores goals. But I just think, you know, if Harry don't score, he would do something mad. Like, he would drop in that number 10 position and then he'll pass it to someone like a Kevin De Bruyne. And then we'll win the game.
Look, he's passed the other day, a little outside the boot.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's like, yeah, is there so much more? If you're going to win the game, you need more than just, like...
Yeah, that's the right answer. Well done, Jermaine.
That is the right
congratulations,
answer.
Jermaine. You know more.
Legend!
You know more. 5.com. Thank you for the legendary appearance. Jermaine Defoe.
Underrated. By you. By you.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.